If you would, tonight, please take your copy of God's Word and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. We want to read the whole chapter together. Romans chapter 13. And let's commence our reading at the verse number 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, or avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's an important verse, actually, verse number 4, to help you understand those difficult texts in the Old Testament, because sometimes the Lord commands his people to go into pagan nations and to kill men, women, and children. And sometimes the question is asked, well, how can you trust in a God that does that? Well, the New Testament equivalent here is Romans 13, verse 4. And note what it says there at the end of the verse. He beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. He's God's executioner. That's referring there to law, the law of the land. That's the idea here of the minister. It's God's servant, which has the responsibility of handing out penalties for civil disobedience or whatever the case may be. And so God at times sends his executors to deal with evil. Not every judgment from God comes as fire and brimstone from heaven. Sometimes the Lord sent the sword. Verse 5 then, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, take special note of these next words. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts here this evening. Well, please read with me Romans chapter 13, and particularly the verse number 11. Romans 13 and the verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I want to clarify that this passage, these chapters, were primarily written to the people of God. If you go right back to chapter 12 and the verse 1, where this new section in Romans begins, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And so here's the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to the people of God. And he instructs them in these verses on how they ought to live with one another. But when you come to verse number 11, although it is written specifically for the believer, there is no doubt that these words can be easily applied to the unbeliever as well. Look at verse 11. You have the emphasis here to not continue sleeping, but to waken up. Why? Because the day of salvation is nearer than it ever has been before. For the believer, of course, yes, the idea of our salvation being nearer means the day when we enter into heaven, when we are fully and finally delivered from sin. But for the unbeliever, it's an exhortation to awake out of sleep, because the work of getting right with God is something you need to attend to immediately. Verses 12, 13, and 14 deal with casting off sin and going on with God. And that's exactly what the unbeliever must do. They must first of all get right with the Lord and then cast off their sin and go on with the Lord. So, this, men and women, is the commencement of a new year. 2021 has commenced. Thankful to the Lord for sparing us, and particularly if you're unsaved here. You have a greater cause than anyone to get down on your knees and thank the Lord for sparing you, even though you have spurned and rejected and turned your back on God's every offer of salvation. Although you've continued to blaspheme the name of God, to belittle His Christ, He spared you. You have so much to thank the Lord for. But as our text says, it is high time to awake. Dear unsaved person, it is high time that you would awake out of your sleep and come to the Lord and be saved. The month of January, of course, starts our year. But the calendar is man-made. The calendars over the centuries have changed. Way back in Genesis 8:13, Exodus 12 and 40, Ezekiel 40 speaks about the Jewish calendar. And all those situations in those passages, it speaks about the first day of the first month of the new year. And so there are at least four passages that deal with New Year's Day. But of course, they are completely different from ours because it was the Jewish calendar. And so the first day of the year historically has changed over the centuries. But whenever the first day of the year is held, it's a marker. And it marks the passing of time. Indeed, it's a reminder that we're getting older. It's a reminder that time is very much like the wind. You can't hold the wind. You can't control the wind. The wind blows and it passes you by. Time is the same. We can't control it. And it passes us by so quickly. And before you know it, your allotted time will come to an end. And you're ushered out into God's eternity. The old year has blown past us. It's history. That was a full year, men and women. You had another full year of opportunities to call upon the Lord. And perhaps you're still unsaved. So the words of our text are most applicable. It is high time to awake out of sleep and to be saved. That phrase, high time, let me explain it to you. It means to do something that should have been done a long time ago. It's the way of emphasizing, it's an emphatic way of saying, listen, that job should have been completed a long time ago. It is well overdue. Get your hands to the tools and get the task done, whatever that task may be. It should have been done much sooner than now. I'll give you a few examples. It is high time that government was up and running. It is high time our nation got on its knees in prayer. And it's high time that you were saved if you're not. The phrase high time originated way back in the 13th century. And here's what it meant. It referred to the warmest time of the day, peak of the day. And since people then were mostly farmers out working in the fields, that time marked the turning point of the day. And whatever work you were going to do, you would have to have a sufficient amount of it done by high day, by high time. If you haven't, well, it's a disgrace. What have you been doing all morning? Have you been lying in bed? Have you been wasting the opportunity God gave you? And if you haven't it done by high time, you better drop everything you are doing and get to the work. It had to begin immediately. So high time referred to the warmest part of the day when the sun was at its height. There was an urgency because time was beginning to run out. And I'm thinking about your life here tonight. You compare your life to the daily clock of a regular day. Maybe you're well past the morning stage in your life. Past the morning where you're in your teens and 20s. Maybe you're well past now even the afternoon of your life, your 30s, 40s, 50s. Maybe you're in the winter time of your life, or rather the evening time of your life. And if that's the case, it's more important now than ever for you to get right with God, because the sun isn't rising in your life. It's beginning to set. So it's high time that you were saved. Many people in the world don't believe there's a God. They'll not be seeking for the Lord. They'll not be worried about the judgment day because they genuinely, at least with their expressions and with their phrases, they would say they don't believe it. Others do believe in God, but have no real awareness of their need to get right with the Lord, to find the Lord's forgiveness. Sometimes you'll come across people, maybe on the radio, internet, whatever, and they open up their Bible and they begin to maybe quote passages of scriptures. It might be celebrities, it might be government officials, it might be whoever you care to mention. And they seem to have a knowledge that hears the word of God, and they quote passages of scriptures. Sometimes it's motivators and people trying to get you up and doing something. They might read verses of scripture that are designed to motivate the believer, and yet those very same people live in sin, live in great wickedness. And so they seem to believe there's a God, and this is God's book, but they are completely void of any sense of need to get right with God. Of course, there's other people then still, people who know full well there's a God, and know full well the need to get right with God, but instead of sorting it out, they sweat it out. Here's what I mean by that. Many a man, many a woman is under conviction, and they know full well that they must sort out their position before God, but instead of sorting it out, they sweat it out. Do nothing. Just wait. Try and bear with the conviction. And they continue to live under conviction. Maybe that's you putting off the great day of your salvation. You feel unsure. Or maybe you're hesitant. Or you're just downright unwilling. And so you're reluctant to get right with God. And all the while the devil's there telling you not to get right with God. And do you know the greatest lie of the devil? It's not when the devil says, no, don't get saved. The greatest lie of the devil is when he says, just wait. Just hang on. Just put it off for another day. When the Word of God says, it is high time. It's high time to awake out of sleep. No procrastination. Rather than putting it off, get to the work. Instead of stewing, it's time to be doing. Call upon the Lord. Procrastinating is a big word. It just means putting off. It means delaying. It means something which requires immediate attention, you keep pushing it to the side or to the back of your mind. Again, let me give you a few examples. The farmer had a lot of ground, but constant procrastination meant he missed the season to plant, and therefore he had no harvest. The girl was an intelligent kid, but constant procrastination left her late with every assignment, so she failed the test. Another example, maybe this one is very applicable to the unsaved tonight. He was a decent fella, a nice fella. He knew he needed to be saved, but constant procrastination in calling upon the Lord meant that he died without Christ and lies in hell. And is that the way you'll be happy to go into eternity? Is that the way you're happy for your funeral to go? That someone would say over your dead body, constant procrastination meant this man now, not only his body lies before us, but his soul lies in hell. The Bible says it is high time. And it's high time, men and women, to awake out of your sleep and to get right with God. Proverbs 27 and the verse number 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And that's the reality. Can I turn you to another passage in God's Word? It's James chapter 4. Turn there with me. James chapter 4. And let's read from the verse number 7. There's several verses I want to draw to your attention here. James 4 and the verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. There's clear direction. Speak not evil. Verse 11, speak not evil one of another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy, and that's Christ. The lawgiver who can save or judge or destroy. Now, read on here. Who art thou that judges another? Verse 13. Here's someone now procrastinating, denying the word of God and not getting right. Verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow. We will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And that verse is saying this, that some people have this inclination to procrastinate. They say, you know, today, later today or later tomorrow, we'll go and we'll buy and we'll sell, and we're presumptuous that we'll be here tomorrow to buy and to sell and to do whatever. But you don't know what a day may bring. Your life is like a vapor that vanisheth away. So read verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I have a grandmother, and that's definitely her phrase. Growing up, that's the one thing that's always lodged in my mind at the end of every sentence. That's what she says. If the Lord will, if the Lord will. She's been saying that now for 99 years and still saying it. But nevertheless, even at 99, life is like a vapor. Verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now listen. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. So procrastinating isn't only boastful. It's not only an expression of your pride, as if you control your own destiny and you'll be saved when you want. It's more than that. It's sin. Now, the context here is doing good to your fellow man. If you can do good to someone and you fail to do it, that's sin. But let's even take that a little bit further. Because good, ultimately, is your behavior towards God and man. You're not to do evil. And what is good? To bow before the Lord. To accept the fact that you're a sinner. And to seek forgiveness. And to give glory to God. And while you refrain from doing that, it's sin. So procrastinating, not getting saved, not waking out of your sleep is undoubtedly sin and the rejection of God. But let's go even further. You're in James, just turn back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, and look at the verse 12. Look what it says here. Still thinking about putting off the day of salvation. Chapter 3 of Hebrews in the verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And that verse is teaching something very clear. If you continue to put something off, you become hard. You get used to making excuses. Conviction may begin. And for a while it may buckle you and bend you over and you're broken because of your need to get right with God. But you become so used to habitually putting the invitation of the gospel behind you that you become hard-hearted, hardened. What an awful condition that is to fall into. And so procrastinating, putting off the day of salvation, it's boastful, it's sinful, and it breeds hardness of heart. Let's go back to our text then, in Romans chapter 13. Don't the words of verse 11 stand true? And that knowing the time is passing, another year is gone. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Because the verse goes on to say, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And I want you to see, secondly here, the day of salvation. That's what the verse is talking about in verse 11. Our salvation is nearer than when we believe. So remember, this is written to Christians. And for the Christian, it's said here to motivate them to greater service. The day of your salvation is coming nearer when you will enter into your eternal rest and your reward. So labor hard, work hard before God calls you home. You've a work to do. But for the unsaved, it's not a reminder for you to do more work to please God. It's a reminder for you that you must attend to your need of personal salvation. Because the verse would read like this for you: for now is your judgment nearer than ever before. That's the equivalent for the unbeliever. For now is your judgment nearer than ever before. That's a reality today. You know, this day of salvation for the believer, or the day of judgment for you as an unbeliever, let me assure you, that's a real event that will happen someday. It's not some kind of hypothesis. It's not some kind of possibility. It's not some kind of fable that may or may not happen. That's not the case. But the day of salvation, the day of judgment, is very real. Will you take your Bibles, please, again, and turn the book of Hebrews to a verse you'll know well. It's the next verse I want to read with you, actually. It's Hebrews chapter 9. Well-known verse when we think about the brevity of life and the need to be saved. Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse 27 says, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." So it's appointed unto man. To every individual there is an appointed time to live and to die. And what happens afterwards? Judgment day. Now, read the verse again. "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so." That wee word, "so," is very important. It means therefore. Therefore, what? Therefore, Christ was once offered up to bear the sins of many. You see, this idea of a judgment day or a day of salvation is not some kind of hypothesis. In the eyes of God, it wasn't a possibility. No, it's an absolute fact and a reality. And because of this judgment day, Christ came and died. He shed his blood, not for a hypothesis, not for a possibility, not for a fable, but for a reality. There is a day coming when every man will stand before the judgment throne of God. And let me tell you, every man will stand there and will feel the test. Because when the balances are put out, we will be found wanting, full of sin, full of failures, worthy only of God's judgment. But Christ, because of that reality, God sent his Son, knowing full well that David Brown, or whoever you want to mention, would stand the judgment day, and if he wasn't rescued, if he wasn't delivered, he'll be going to hell. So God sent his Son before the judgment day comes to pay the price for my sin and for the sins of those who trust in him. Now verse 27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." For Christ, it was different. For Christ, there was judgment on the cross, and then he died. He's the only man who bore the judgment of sin and rose again. He came to deliver you from a hopeless, helpless hell. Let's finally go back to our text in Hebrews 13. Again, emphasizing the points this evening. It is high time for you to awake out of sleep. It is high time for you to be saved. Verse 11 makes that clear. For the believer, it's high time to awake out of your sleep and to work for God. Cast off all procrastination and slothfulness and laziness, and let's labor for the unsaved. It's high time for you to attend to the need of personal salvation. But when you do so, understand, thirdly and finally, that it must be this dressing. There's a day of salvation, there's this dressing up after salvation. And look what you have here in verse number 12. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." See, dear friend, salvation comes first. That's the paramount the paramount decision that has to be made for you to get on your knees and call upon God, and the Lord will dress you. Verse 12 speaks about things that have to be taken off, cast off the works of darkness. And those works of darkness are identified in verse 13. Let us walk honestly. So putting off dishonesty. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting. You understand what that means? Not in drunkenness, permitting yourself to be stupefied by abusing substances, not in chambering. And chambering gives the idea there of going into your chamber and closing the door and hiding away from everyone else and sinning away. And wantonness. Again, immorality is in view there. Not in strife and in envying. So here now is the things to put on. Verse 14, but put ye on what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And that's what God is requiring. Now, there would be a people who would put on Christ, who would be clothed in His loveliness and His righteousness, putting away all the things that you ought to be ashamed of, the things that you have to do in darkness, and instead step into light and be clothed with Jesus Christ and walk before God and men blameless. That's what the Lord requires. And so, dear unsaved, tonight as we bring this meeting to a conclusion, it is high time, that you addressed your relationship with God. You don't have a relationship. You've turned your back on the Lord. You have denied His invitation to be saved. And you're confidently walking to hell as if all is well. But again, can we remind you, for many of you maybe listening here tonight, watching on whatever, sitting in the car park, you know there's a God. You know you need to get right with the Lord, but you're just putting it off. Again, I would hate to be the one to stand in this pulpit over your coffin and say constant procrastination caused them to not call upon the Lord, and now they rest in they lie in hell. Not rest in hell. You'll be tormented in hell forevermore. And so it's high time to put on Christ. It's high time to turn from the world and sin. And this very night, ignore the devil's lies, deal with your procrastination, and press into salvation in Jesus Christ. O gracious God and Heavenly Father, if there is anyone indeed within earshot of this message, that, O Lord, they would not put off the day of salvation, but they would hasten to call upon Thy name, surely it is high time to be saved. Lord, a new year has dawned. What a joy it would be for the unbeliever to commence this new year having peace with God and finally getting and paying attention to their greatest need, that of personal salvation. So, Lord, bless Thy word tonight. Bless our land and undertake this congregation. And for any who do not know Thee, Lord, we pray that they will know Thee tonight. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.